At the Races with Steve Bick. Enough! Horse racing, handicapping, interviews. This is At the Races with Steve Bick.
A very good Wednesday and a happy St. Patrick's Day, everybody. Sirius 219, XM 201, Sports Zone 964, if you're listening to Sirius XM Online. And by the way, I did see on Twitter the other day, I should have retweeted it. There's a terrific like $1 subscription thing for 90 days, or I'll find it and I'll retweet it. If you don't have it, it's always a good time to sign up for SiriusXM. But never a better time than now. Also at our website, thebick.com, and now linking to the selections page. It's funny because a lot of times Tina will come home from school and I'll say, did you see so-and-so? Did you see this on Twitter? And she goes, I can't get, Twitter's blocked at school. Interesting. So I think Facebook is too. But I think I got a workaround. For those of you that are at work and are under the same problem, you can get to Kev Humphrey's Cheltenham selections, which yesterday got off to an absolute flying start. Kev's going to join us in about 15, 18 minutes, give or take. And we'll look, we'll do a quick review of yesterday with Kev, but we'll look mostly for the Thursday, Friday, the second half of Cheltenham. And yesterday was so chock full, we didn't even get a chance to listen to a race. So today, hopefully, and actually, Case, I got to send you the info to so you can pull it off a feed. But longshotlad.com is now, I'm sure people thought I was kidding when I kept talking about longshotlad.com. Well, we registered longshotlad.com, and we're going to use it for the international analysis and pushes, mostly by Kev. This could be like Lassie. There could be a bunch of different long shot lads. I suppose I should also, we should probably also get long shot lass as well. But Kev will join us, and we'll have some fun with day two, although it does seem like day two at Cheltenham may get a little chalky, a little dominated by the chalk. But, yesterday, that didn't stop Kev. It did not stop him, whether it was in exotics, like how about El Dorado Allen? That was terrific in the Arkle. I mean, Shishkin was too good. But El Dorado Allen, who, went into it at 50-1, ends up second. So that scored out the swinger or the exacto. And frankly, the try, he was the key to the try because Captain Gauguin, that was the nice New York bred. Captain Guinness was third, and he was pretty obvious. But, the triple paid 55-60 with the short price Siskin on top. If you saw the first race yesterday, if you saw the Supreme Novice, the Group 1, appreciated, must have won by, we were engaged in the conversation with HBPA and the HESA legislation, and I was watching with one eye, appreciated, must have won by, 20 lengths. I just absolutely ran off in the Supreme Novice to start the day. But anyway, Kev just hit early and hit often. Honeysuckle was another nice winner. That came in the Champion Hurdle, the Grade One, and Honeysuckle was anticipated. But Kev found Sharjah, at a nice price. So that was key. And Epatante was third. So again, Kev found the price that was key to success. Then he got the first upset in that fifth of the day, and that was in the mare's hurdle. Black Tears just gets up past Concertista. That was a good race. That one I was watching. Nobody could find that crazy 75-1 shot. How about that? Jeff Kidder. I'll ask Kev about that in the Boodles. And then in the nightcap, Galvin, you know, Galvin paid 840 in the national hunt. And what a ride by Jack Kennedy. Really good ride. I covered up and you know, then looked like he was going to have some trouble producing and comes through. So it was fun. And the rest of the week, three more days of Cheltenham. And if you saw the picture I put up, today is typically when St. Patrick's Day falls within, you know, the week of Cheltenham, it's mayhem. as if the Irish contingent isn't already, you know, up for a good time at Cheltenham. St. Patrick's Day only furthers their gaiety. Let's put it that way. So I put up a very funny picture from a couple of years ago. I think it's from 2016. I think the dateline was, and all bunch of leprechauns all dressed up. So it won't be as festive today, at least at Cheltenham. But I'm sure those that are tuning in and wagering, they'll have fun. So we'll talk about particularly days 3 and 4 with Kev Hum, K-E-V-H-U-M on Twitter. You should be following Kev. He's terrific. And of course, you know, later with Ascot. And he also, you know, he's so helpful with the international horses for Breeders' Cup as well. Kev Humphreys, who became a Derby trailer by accident. some of our website participants kind of befriended him years and years ago. And then he was turning up everywhere. He was turning up at Saratoga. He was turning up at Triple Crown events and at Breeders' Cups. And he became a Derby trailer, and he's always had a great opinion. So, and I know a bunch of people, went to town yesterday. We'll see if we can't. Today might be a little tricky just because there's some really heavy favorites. I mean, even money and 4 to 5 types. So we'll see. There's even a 1 to 2 to, you know, deal with today. So about 10 minutes, we'll talk to Kev. We'll also, of course, catch up with Sid. Sire Watch Pedigree Focus brought to you by Hill & Dale. We'll get Sid's thoughts about concert tour, which he had a hand in, and you know, the breeding that produced concert tour. So you'll get an insight second to none when it comes to how Gary and Mary West settled on Street Sense, you know, with Sid's input. And of course, just a unique situation for the Wests to have Life is Good that they bred and sold, and concert tour, who they're going to go on with. We'll talk to Seth later. We'll get some probably some Tampa Gulfstream thoughts in with Seth. We'll get to Papo today, Papo Morales. And, you know, this morning, as Hong Kong is running, this is kind of a little sidebar. And I have mentioned, for those of you that have already downloaded Form to Win, and Papo and I will talk about the utilization of the, you know, the two free races a day. But for those that, you know, have poked around, you'll see that there's also the Asia Pacific settings. You can go down in the lower right hand corner. And this morning, I think we got two left at, on my end too, my modem, because that seemed to help a few weeks ago when we had the very, really, really frustrating as I have voiced before. Later, I mentioned, I think, I don't know, I'm going to guess that I got to Seth, and not sure. I'm never sure when you lose me. But Popo, too, and we'll do some form to win recapping and a couple other visits. Got to talk a little bit about the sale results and a good day. Absolutely a strong start. Although I happened to bounce this off of Aaron Yagoda after the sale yesterday, and Aaron pointed out very fairly, you know, that if you add in everything, you add in the outs, you know, what about the horses that breezed and then came out, you know, that puts a little dent in the fender, a little bit of the results. But for those that did get sold and turned through, it was a good day. And, you know, just looking at, you know, looking at the, what you want to use as a benchmark, I don't know, 250,000 or above, you know, you had two horses sell for 550,000, including that Violence Colt that came up the other day with Rich Migliori. Congratulations to Kip Elser, the Violence Colt out of Lemon Bell, Spendthrift, $550,000. And this was a very nice pinhook for Kip and Mr. Schwartz. $125,000 is a Keeneland Yearling and spins around for $550,000. The Munnings Filly was the top, the co-session leader, the one that Donato Lanny bought. Eddie Woods consigned. Hip 216. I'm just going to look and see what that turned around was. This was a high priced, a very high priced yearling, and I brought that up with Tom Venturi yesterday, $240,000. And yeah, that's a roll of the dice and pays off. Comes back, gets another $310,000. So that was the second highest. He had 7 others over $500,000. And you know, one of the really active participants, Spendthrift, was active, but Yuji Hasegawa paid $500,000 for two fillies by Into Mischief and a Candy Ride colt. The Into Mischiefs, the two fillies, both went 9-4. Nick Demerick with one, Gene Riccio with the other filly. They both went 9-4, and Eddie Woods had the Candy Ride colt. So a trio, $500,000. Narvik bought a Cairo Prince colt and a Liam's Map colt, $5.25 each. Ron Ellis buying one that Eddie Woods put through, a Warfront colt. And when we talk to Sid, we'll probably touch on a couple of the, see if there was anything that caught Sid's eye. You know, after, it's funny, after both Baffert and McPeak, after they both completely unprompted mentioned Unified, two Unifieds among the top sellers yesterday, $530,000, Carolyn Wilson bought one from Kieran Dunn, Unified Colt that went 20-2. And that was hip 163. This was a $190,000 Keeneland Yearling, and turns around, fetches $530,000. And then Dark Star, Story Atchison, consigned the Unified Colt that went as hip 110 to Spendthrift for $400,000. So Unified, clearly a story to follow. And you want to talk about a score. That colt sold at Phasig October for $19,000. How about that? Out of My Kind of Saint, comes back and sells for $400,000. How you can't have a bigger hit than that, a bigger success. Unbelievable. Lord Nelson, who I mentioned, I brought up yesterday, $385,000. A colt went 10 flat, hip 67. And let's see if that one was not a pinhook. So we'll get some more feedback on the sale from Sid, and then we'll recap the whole thing tomorrow. We'll get, Brian DiDonardo and Steve Chirac, who, you know, last time going back 2 years to 19, when we were there and broadcasting, it seems like Brian and Steve pretty regularly cover OBS. So maybe we'll get, in fact, I'll touch base with Brian later today and try to lock him in for a recap tomorrow. All right. Case, we could go ahead and try to go make your first pass at bringing Kevin. We're obviously not going to get a chance to listen to this first. It's actually still 9 minutes away, so maybe we will get a chance with Kev on. But this is this first leg of the action today at Cheltenham has got a heavy favorite. This is the Ballymore Novice Hurdle, and Bob Olinger, the 2, 6-5. And Kev kind of acquiesced. This one, and it's a small field. This isn't much fun. So maybe we'll wait for, I think we'll wait for something a little more productive. There's actually, I did notice, I'll bring it up with Kev. I did notice when I went through the list of logical types, there seemed to be two races that had high, looking at the odds checker, the third today, for instance, the Coral Cup, right? Yeah, the Coral Cup that goes at 10:30. That has got high-priced favorite, like in the 6-1 range. And then the sixth later, this afternoon at 12:10, the Johnny Henderson, the Grand Annual Handicap, that has got a 6-1 favorite. Embittered is the 6-1 favorite in the shops. And so those two seem to be the races that have got the biggest potential. And Kev has actually got three horses in the Coral Cup that he's interested in. Botox Has, Sneaky Getaway, and Monte Cristo, all three as prices. And Kev Humphreys joins us after a big day one at Cheltenham. Kev, good morning.
Good morning, Steve. Good morning, listeners. Happy St. Patrick's Day to all.
Happy St. Patrick's. Case, can we pot him up a little bit? A little hollow? A little deep? Yeah? Now we may have lost Kev, actually. And, of course, Kev's in Singapore, which, adds to the... Yeah, you lost them. The connection was a little iffy. So we'll get Kev Humphreys back, and we'll get some... We'll get some thoughts, all right? And, I'll save the rest of that. I've got a few things here to talk about. Oh, we're supposed to have, I've got to get, it's Wednesday. We've got to get to Chris Griffin today, too. Sam Houston. And I don't know if you saw this, but Sam Houston hit another round of purse increases coming, starting today. And through the end of the meet. And, of course, there's 3 weeks. They're winding down. It's been a tremendous meet at Sam Houston. And, along the same lines, as Sam Houston ends, we'll be turning our attention to Indiana. Indiana being just, widely hailed. Every decision Eric Ahlstrom is making is being applauded, including putting a camera in the steward stand. How about that? Something that has been discussed. He's trying uh, is something that I think, we know we've discussed it with Dick and with Pat Cummings and, you know, some of the opportunities over the years you've seen at Dubai and at Hong Kong too, you know, where you get to see, the sausage being made, as it were, how the decisions come down. Speaking of which, and Casey trying to get Kev back, did see that there were some, quite a few of the declarations were made for, speaking of Dubai, if you didn't see the press release while we wait for Kev to come back, I'll mention, it seems there's a couple of horses that jumped in here that, and a couple that aren't participating, as it turns out, that we kind of expected. But for the World Cup, you know, you knew, obviously, Mystic Guide. Beyond that, there's a handful. Steve Asmussen, Doug O'Neill. Interestingly, in the UAE Derby, I see Antonio Seno has got Lugamo as an apparent participant, as a likely runner. And, of course, you knew that that O'Neill was sending Ambivalent. So those are the two North American UAE Derby participants. In the Al Quaz, I did see, Cowan is listed as a likely for the Al Quaz Sprint. And Graham Motion, True Valor. And Brendan Walsh with Extravagant Kid. So at least the three from North America. Golden Shaheen, and of course Doug O'Neill told you 2 weeks ago Wild Man Jack was going to go on the main track. Steve Asmussen's got Yaupin. And he's also got Jalen Journey. So 1, 2, 3 from North America in the Golden Shaheen. And I think, what does that leave us with? What about the mile? Bill Mott's got Channel Maker, of course, for the Shima Classic. And let me see if I can't find the Kev. Casey's having trouble getting Kev back. Ugh. The Godolphin Mile, I know that Asmussen's bringing Snapper Sinclair, and O'Neill's got Parsimony. So there you go. That's the North American invasion for Dubai. And 2 weeks, not even, right? 10 days? What's today? 17th? Yeah, 10 days. 27th. So, well, Case, I don't know what to tell you. The call just won't, you can't get through. Well, all right. Well, if that's the case, we may have to rely on, we can probably try him tomorrow too. I know what'll happen here. We'll end up running on top of something else. All right, here, let me see if I'll send him a note. How about that? All right. You know what you do? Let's take the bottom of the hour break. It's 9:30, and I'll send Kev a note and see if we can't. I could also send him the number and see if he can reach it from the backside. All right? Let's do that. Take a quick break. We'll come back, and if we can't get Kev, we'll go on to Plan B. All right. Back after this.
Racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Vick on Sirius XM Radio.
Why, in the past decade, has BRL Equine become the premier equine supplement company in the industry? Because we spend millions in research and development before we ever put out a product. Because we use only FDA-supervised facilities to manufacture for us. because what we say is in them is in them. Because they work. Because if you're not happy, I'll give you your money back. And because top trainers and veterinarians in thoroughbred racing, standardbred racing, three-day eventing, and barrel racing all trust in BRL Equine. Shouldn't you? To find out more how Flexify HA, Unlock, Bleeder Shield, and EPO Equine can help you, contact me, Joseph Vellante, 215-501-6880.
There's a great story to tell in Pennsylvania. Only three states have produced more Breeders' Cup champions, and no state can match our performance in recent years. Since 2016, our numbers of mares bred has skyrocketed, unlike the national trend. And this year's live foal report shows Pennsylvania up over 50%. Why? Our incentives and bonuses are the best in North America. Please visit us at PABred.com and see why Pennsylvania is the premier place to breed and race.
Horsebills.com is a cost-effective, time-saving, paperless revolution. Vendors are able to generate electronic invoices for owners and other vendors who can pay through Horsebills.com for just 50 cents. Turn hours of work into minutes with our easy-to-use site. Have our team take over your bookkeeping or continue to do it yourself and pay only our low monthly subscription fee. Check out our video tutorial on the Horsebills.com YouTube channel and get started today for free. Horsebills.com. Toll-free number 888-9 384643.
Now, back to At the Races with Steve Bick on SiriusXM Radio.
Terrific trouble getting a hold of Kev, which is brutal. He thought maybe he was in a bad spot, but Casey says he's getting one of these "your call can't go through" kinds of messages. All right. One of the odd things about the UK coverage is how they go, from one venue to another. Like, for instance, today, you've got how many circuits running? 4. In addition to Cheltenham, Huntingdon, Kempton, and Lingfield are all running. And so they don't stick with one, even on your, on any of your feeds, on your ADW feeds, they don't stay with the our domestic signals. So they if you turn away from the signal, you go to see what the result was, and they're on to something else. If Spectrum is going to give us this kind of a morning, this will make things really difficult. Unbelievable. All right. Well, see how long we can go, and if that other number might get through to Kev. All right. Or you could go to even to Sid too. That's another option. So we'll check on what went on. In the first at Cheltenham, once I know what direction we're headed. All right. The second is a novice chase. This has got one of the really heavy favorites on the day. Monkfish, who should be very tough. So that Coral Cup, that's the one we want to, that's the one I think we want to take a swing. Try for, you know, try for a price. And that did work. All right. It did work to get to Kev. All right. Trying it again. Kev Humphreys joins us. Good morning.
Hi, Steve. Hi, listeners. And yeah, happy St. Patrick's Day. We got just about there the first time. So hopefully we get a bit further now.
No, much better. And Kev, while we were trying to figure out how to reach you, I completely missed the first. What ended up happening?
So I think it was a continuation of the Rachel Blackmore show. Bob Olinger won fairly easily, and yeah, just like us, it kind of went as the market predicted, with the second and third favourites behind. But yeah, very easy spot from Bob Olinger. So another favourite to begin things, but I think it was a logical choice.
Yeah, and let's hit a couple of the opening day recaps, because you had a wonderful day. Even when the favorites came through, you were able to latch on underneath, and that that El Dorado Allen, that was a that was a score in the Arkle that worked out great. Sharjah as well, another successful sort of not a suck up, but behind Honeysuckle, and then came the two wins, Black Tears and Galvin. Galvin at 3-4-1 was actually value.
Yeah, it was a good day. I have to laugh, Steve, because I think the very first race I probably tried to go against Appreciated and a few of the logical next choices with Grumpy Charlie and Irascible, and I think two hurdles in, they were last and second last, being scrubbed along, could not go to pace. And I was just thinking to myself, this is going to be a long, long week if this is how my horses perform. I think Eldorado Allen did very well to get second. It was probably one of the better runner-up rides you'll see all week. Harry Cobden basically didn't want to win. He just tried to maximise his finishing position and let the two go off the front, let Shishkin be Shishkin and be a superstar. And yeah, I think the winner really was, as cliched as it sounds, kind of was horse racing. A lot of positive stories from yesterday, Appreciated, then Shishkin, then Honeysuckle and Rachel Blackmore was just a really good story. And I think the bookies are probably happy that Concertista got chinned by our hope Black Tears, just to kind of denied a four-timer in kind of the four very short favourites. But it was just a really good day. Galvin was, you mentioned yourself, just a really good ride by Jack Kennedy. And kind of just felt like it was never really in the race till it won the race. And that's probably what you want in that sort of race.
Well, two wins on the day for Kennedy, because he, of course, piloted Black Tears as well for Denise Foster. And I do have to ask, before we dive into Wednesday or Thursday, Friday, and maybe touch on a couple of the spots today, the two big, crazy winners, Jeff Kidder, which came back 153, and that in the Boodles, and also Vintage Clouds, Kev, in the handicap, in the Ultima handicap chase. Were there any hints? I mean, what would have landed anybody on either of those at 153 and 75?
Yeah, so Jeff Kidder, and this is what I usually do. I usually look back through the results at the end of the day, and could I have found an angle? Jack Kidder was a tough one. He actually only finished nine lengths behind the Triumph favourite, who runs on Friday. Last in a Grade One, but not actually beaten that far. But yeah, it would take a little bit of imagination to kind of say he's a definite improver, because you're trying to find that improving horse. That was tricky. Vintage Cloud, I just actually texted a friend straight after the race. He ran in that was the fifth time he's running that race, and I'm pretty certain I've backed him in the four previous runs. He's run okay. I think he was in first time blinkers yesterday. So I think if your angle is, I was try and pay attention to, first time blinkers, tongue tie, first run after a wind up, and if you were kind of clued into those sort of angles, you could have got him as a, you know, as a kind of a place play that may turn into something better. So he was probably the more obvious one to find, but you know, the price dictates that, you know, they were tricky to find.
Well, today we've got, as mentioned, Bob Olinger wins the first for Henri de Bromhead and Blackmore, and we've got a couple of other, you know, very logical types. Monkfish is going to be a very short price. In fact, let me check and see what we're looking at. 1-9 with 13 minutes. Then later, I guess in the fourth, Chakun Porsoy, even money, Easy Land, even money, and Kilkrut in the last, probably 2-1 or 9-5. So a bunch of heavy favorites, but we'll talk about maybe a couple of options somewhere along those in those lines.
Yeah, no, a lot of them are logical, and yeah, Monkfish looks very strong and has been well. I think it's just been really well supported throughout the week. I think like Chakun Porsoy, he's never run at Cheltenham. He's probably, you know, he feels like he's a good few pounds clear in the ratings, but he just, yeah. I suppose if you're against him, which I am, you're probably just hoping that he doesn't like Cheltenham. Easy Land, I actually tried for ages to find a logical against him. I think he looked very, very strong. And Kilcrut, was unbelievably impressive at the Dublin Racing Festival. But I think, you know, the pace kind of fell apart that day. And he was the only one running at any sort of pace. Everything else just fell apart. And I fancy Ramirez to maybe get a little bit closer. He fell into a bit of a hole. And, you know, I've taken a bit of a flyer with Jack the Legend. First time wind off. He has course form. He probably needs to improve 25, 30 pounds. He could, you know, everyone's going to be improving. He probably could improve 15 pounds. He's likely to come last, but we'll give it a shot at a massive price. But yeah, it's got like, you know, I think there's another, I suppose the short price favourite that does prove that, you know, it's another quality day, a lot of very, very good horses, and, you know, they're probably the ones that will win throughout the day.
I do want to ask about the 10:30, the Coral Cup, and there's two today that we touched on Monday, both the Coral Cup, which is a Group 3, and then later, after we get off the air, the 12:10, the Johnny Henderson, the Grand Annual Chase. Those have the highest on the markets in the bookies. They've got the highest priced favorites in like a 6-1 range. Embittered in the Johnny Henderson is trading as a 6-1 favorite, and similar types in the Coral Cup. There's a horse that caught my eye, that Craig Nish, that is 10-1, and you didn't use. You've got Botox Has, Sneaky Getaway, Monte Cristo, So you have a sense that this thing is as wide open as there is on the day.
Yeah, it is. As I said on Monday, it's probably one of my favorite races. I think Monte Cristo kind of comes in very much kind of in the same light as Craig Nish. Nicky Henderson trained, lightly raced, impressive last time. So, yeah, I think your initial narrowing down, you know, 26 runners in the Coral Cup, you probably narrowing it down to 10, 12, and then you're, you know, I'm just maybe trying to find horses who, you know, maybe are, like, I'm, you know, happy enough to back at the price and trying to get maybe a little bit of an under the radar trainer. I know Nicky Henderson isn't, but I suppose some of the others are. Like, and I think, you know, Sneaky Getaway, Emmett Mullins. I mentioned on Monday that I was hoping to see money for the horse, because there's usually kind of a money stable, and there has been. I think it was 28-1 when we talked on Monday. It's 12-1 now, so that's given me a bit of confidence that he's primed for a good run. So it's just, like, it does take a little bit of looking, re-looking, maybe third or fourth looking, and I suppose
with regards, you know, Thursday and Friday's races, some of them, sometimes I can have an initial view now and I might need to just have another look again and see if I've missed anything, and hopefully not let the vintage clouds get away from me and find that horse.
We'll have Sid on at the time, and so at the bottom of next hour, we'll try to bring in the Coral Cup, which is probably the most engaging, certainly, of the day. Let's look ahead, Kev. Let's look at tomorrow and Friday, and of course, the Gold Cup on Friday, the granddaddy of them all. And in advance of that, let's start into day three. Starts with one of the two group ones, or actually three group ones, I think, tomorrow. Yeah, three group ones tomorrow. And the Marsh, the novice chase, starts out the day.
Yeah, so, all three novice chases have been, symbolized by a radiant hot favorite, Shishkin in the Oracle, Monkfish today in the 3 miler, and Envoy Allen in the 2 mile four. He's unbeaten. He's won the bumper. He's won a novice hurdle here. He's probably to see the stars of racing in that. He just wins. He probably doesn't win by huge amounts, but he just looks ultra impressive, and you feel that there's more in the locker. So it is very difficult to go against him. I'm probably going to take a bit of a punt on maybe a couple of Mullins' ones at bigger prices. So he's running two of them, Astoria, Furlonge, and Blackbow, who are kind of in the 20s. They both come in with very different profiles. Blackbow's been running over 2 miles, has been running okay. Astoria, Furlonge probably doesn't really like running left-handed, but, a couple of races back, he was only 15-8 to beat Envoy Allen, and he fell at the first. So he has a bit of class. I think if people remember the Supreme Novice last year, he was the one that fell in front when leading 2 hours and brought down a couple of horses. So he's a few quirks, but at 20-1, plus you're maybe just taking a small punt against Envoy Allen. But to be honest, I'd be surprised if Envoy Allen, it doesn't prove to be very good unless he has a bit of a misfortune.
The second on Thursday, the Pertem Network Final, Imperial Alcazar is trading at about 4-1, 5-1. This looks like a nice group, actually, and this is a bit of a bulky field. There's got to be some long shot lad specials in here.
Yeah. No, so I think probably the starting point is probably, as you said, Imperial Alcazar. The boss is Oscar, is probably, the Irish, best horse in the race, so to speak. He comes in with a very useful profile, and it's something that Ellie's would have targeted with a similar type in the past. So, he ticks a lot of boxes, but hasn't gone missing in the market at 6-1. I think the one I've been drawn to is Spirit of the Games, who I'm just looking now, number 9, who's running off a mark of 141 here. He came 6th in Cheltenham last year, off a mark of 149. The Skeltons are dab hands at getting handicap winners, usually the county hurdle, but it's over a mile further and over 3 miles. But just think, it does represent a bit of value. Very, it's been placed 5 or 6 times at Cheltenham. We know he likes the track. I say the Skeltons have a good record in handicaps, and a lot of ticks in his when I look at his name. So he's the one that I'm kind of getting a little bit more confident about.
Spirit of the Games, the 9 in the 9:55 tomorrow morning, the network final. The Ryanair, one of the three group ones. And here's a spot, Kev, where the marketplace has got 7 horses between 5-1 and 9-1.
Yeah, it's wide open. And you don't often see grade one races like this.
No,
the market hasn't really sorted it. So I suppose you're looking, like I've kind of written down here, firstly wide open, and secondly, you know, you're kind of looking for a horse projected to run lifetime peak, and you know, there's a few grizzly veterans in here like Min, and then you've got maybe some of the up and comers like Alaho and Imperial Aura, and don't forget Melon, he's been around the block a few times, Sam Crow as well. So it'll be a good field, and I think, you know, there'll be a lot of people sort of thinking horses will run the race. It is tough. Like I'd probably settle on Aho, Willie Mullins, and actually Rachel Blackmore with a ride. You know, she rides a little bit for Willie in Ireland, but I suppose Willie has kind of a stable jockey, so it's interesting that she's riding for him tomorrow. Paul Townend is on Min, but Alaho, I think this trip is just a perfect trip for him, and I think first time tongue tie as well will help him settle, and I think he ran a good race over 3 miles last year in the 3 mile novice, probably just got tired near the end, so this is an ideal trip. I think the one that, again, taking my view of maybe projected to run a lifetime peak, Fangman Destival, the number 5, is, I think, the longest shot on the board. But hasn't been running terribly over 2 miles, and I think definitely wants a step up in trip, and I think this could be something where he's a little bit undervalued because there's a lot of other alternatives that at decent prices he may go missing in the betting.
Interesting. The name of everybody, Fanion, Fanion, Destrival, Destruval, trading at about 33-1, co-high price with Tornado Flyer. Yesterday, or Monday, I should mention that Nick Luck, his lean was Imperial Aura in here.
Yeah, and the thing is, like, he's got a very progressive profile. He's won at the Cheltenham Festival. He won the now defunct Novice Handicap Chase, and who did he beat last year? He beat Galvin by 3.5 lengths. So, you know, the form is in the book.
The Paddy Power Stayers, and this is a 3 mile hurdle. The other and the last of the group ones, Paisley Park, going to be a pretty clear favorite, probably in the 2-1 range. And Nick really didn't have much of an argument against Paisley Park in here, but it's a 16-17 horse field.
Yeah, like he's a fair price and he's a fair favorite. I think like you couldn't really knock him. It was the only data you'd probably have is that he was a strong odds-on favourite last year and got beaten 14.5 lengths. And then I think he was diagnosed with a fibrillating heart, which has since been kind of treated, and he's run quite splitting outcomes with Time Hill, who was a late withdrawal at the weekend. So, yeah, he has a lot of ticks. Short enough, I think, like, you know, I probably don't have a huge opinion. Like, everything feels logical. I think the next best are Sire de Burley and Soaring Quarter, and you know, I think you kind of take a view that either Paisley Park is a strong favourite and you back them, or you maybe take a view that the Irish have more strength and depth, and you maybe take the second and third favourites as a combination against them. I wouldn't necessarily put anyone off against backing others, because you know, you generally see horses that can hit the placings and actually indeed win. Lisnagard Oscar, who's running again, they won a 50-1 last year and is 11-1 for the race tomorrow. So it's trying to find an angle that it's tough enough at the moment. I think the market has got it right, and yeah, I probably won't be straying too far from the top three in the market.
Fair enough. And Paisley Park, Sire de Burley, and Roxana among the tops, flooring Porter, and then it careens into some double digits. The Paddy Power Plate comes next, and here we've got, feels like this is a spot that might have a price or two to get involved.
There is indeed, Steve, and I really like a horse called a mare called Happy Diva, the number 8, trained by Terry Lee.
You liked her before. This is not the first time you've plucked Happy Diva.
Yeah, and she's a good, like, you know, like I've just written down her, like her course form, you know, 8 brought down when running very, very well, 2-2, 1-2, and fell last time, a little bit of a messy fall, but, you know, she's run twice since. She's a good, you know, I think the theme for a lot of my betting is just trying to find horses for courses, and, you know, she is one that really likes Cheltenham, and I think is, you know, will run well and kind of off a nice little mark. I think it's you know, she's 20-1 plus, and I think is something that she's going for a big effort, I think.
All right, well, that's our long shot lad prime play, Happy Diva. What's she wearing? What's her saddle cloth?
What number is it?
Yeah.
Number 8.
Number 8. There we go. Thank you. Because I'm not working off of I'm working off of Odds Checker. After we get off the air, that race goes 11:40 tomorrow, and then the 4:15 and the 4:50 to close out day 3. A couple of thoughts there before we look at Gold Cup Day.
I suppose the Kimura, I'll just quickly say Chantu Flyer again is a kind of, it's in the Happy Diva mold. Just loves Cheltenham. 3 miles 2 over, the type of ground will be perfect for him. I think 3 miles 2 over soft the last couple of years has just been too far, but a little bit of a firmer surface will help. Mare's Novice, I think it's the 4th or 5th running. Willie Mullins has won them all. So I think he's got 4 in the race, and, you know, like I think, you know, one of them that maybe just could get complete, you know, he's one of them with bigger outs, big outsiders in the past, and Pont Aval is a big price in the race of maybe 40-1, who's a very, very likely race, number 12 in the Mare's Novice. But it's something that, you know, it's actually another wide open race without kind of a strong Willie Mullins favourite. I think actually Royal Kalala is the favourite, so he doesn't have the favourite.
9-2.
Decent runners.
Yeah, 9-2 for Royal Kahala as the favorite, and Kev's interested in Pont Aval, Pontaval. Pont means bridge in French, so I'm sure somewhere there's the Aval Bridge involved here, and we'll have to look that one up. All right, let's look at Friday. It's Gold Cup Day, and Kev Humphrey's with us. You should be following Kev Hum, K-E-V-H-U-M on Twitter, and closing day Friday. Obviously, the Gold Cup, the big highlight. It's not necessarily going to be a fabulous betting enterprise with Album Photo, a very likely winner and heavy favorite, trying to become a, more or less a legend. Does he do it? Does he win a third straight?
Yeah, like I think last year I fancied Album Photo and Santini, and you know till I get proven wrong again, I'm probably going to back the two of them. I think Album Photo. He's 9, but he's lightly raced. You know, he won a fast run Gold Cup in 2019. He won a slower run Gold Cup in 2020. He runs once on New Year's Day in Tremor in then County Waterford, kind of a small little race. And, you know, it's been a winning strategy the last 2 years. So, yeah, I think he's definitely deserving favourite. And I, you know, Joni, like, I wouldn't be too afraid of the likes of Afrikard and Champ. I just they there's too many question marks for them at the price, and I'm kind of happy enough to maybe go with Santini as a bit of a saver. He has a few question marks, and maybe to give your listeners a kind of a bit of a clue of who he is, you would probably call him the British version of Tacitus. He's, you know, he's one that probably has a big reputation. You know, keeps on kind of just running maybe that bit slower than maybe expected, but you always think he's primed for a big effort. I think he's wearing blinkers first time, I think as a revisor, so it should sharpen him up. He runs and snatches, but he ran a belter to come second in a slowly run race last year, and you know, only beat maybe half a length or so. So with maybe a bit more pace, I think he should be there thereabouts, and and happy enough to be with those two and against the field and be confident enough that one of them will win it.
The favorite album, A-L-B-O-U-M, photo, like album, like photo album, album photo, and Santini in the Gold Cup. Back up one race, Kev, to the Albert Bartlett Novice. And I know Nick pointed out Vanillier at 25-1. And this feels like a spot that's prime for a price right ahead of the Gold Cup.
Yeah, it's an interesting race, and you know it'll be probably on a little bit better ground than maybe it has in the past, where it's been for novice hurdlers going 3 miles, inexperienced horses, it's been a real slog. So it's one of these races that you know in some way you kind of almost want the slowest horse, just the one that lasts the longest. And you know, I think Vanillier, he has a relatively poor run to overcome at the Dublin Racing Festival, but you know he's had very solid form before that, and he he's going to stay. He stayed nearly 3 miles in Limerick to come second previous run, so he's guaranteed to stay. So wouldn't put anyone off, and not least Nick Luck, because he's an expert in his field. Maybe at a shorter price, I think Fakira, he came fourth in the Dublin Racing Festival over 2.6 miles. And he was 3 furlongs out, he looked like he was going to be tailed off. He was probably about 25 lengths behind the eventual winner. He just kept on grinding. As soon as the race was over, I pretty much was like, he's the Albert Bartlett horse. He feels like he'll stay all day. I think another one that probably fits that category of a kind of a slow plodder would be the number 10 horse, Oscar Elite. Tizard's horses are running a little bit better. He felt like he was a 3 miler, and then they ran him over just over 2 miles last time out. And you know, I'm not too negative on that. I think sometimes just running over 3 miles on winter ground too often can be too much. So maybe running over 2 miles was not the worst idea. First time tongue tie as well for Colin Tizard, and John Joe Neal Jr. is a fantastic jockey. So I think at a bigger price, that'd be the one I'd be kind of looking at. But it's a race that's prime for big price horses as well. I'm just looking through the previous winners. Manila Indo won a 50-1. Kilbreckan Storm 33s. Penn Hill 16. So you just wouldn't see it as a negative to see a horse at a big price.
Finally, Kev, before I let you go, the county hurdle that goes as the 9:55 our time, the second race on Friday, and whenever I see a 7-1, a pair of 7-1s as the favorites on Odds Checker, that just screams an opportunity, and it's a monster field. What are we doing in the county?
Yeah, so a couple of horses, maybe just to quickly look at Durazzo, the number 5 horse, J.T. McManus, Joseph O'Brien. It's hard to know. I kind of liked him a little bit as a sleeper for the champion hurdle last year, and he was beaten 20 lengths. He didn't really run a race, but he's crept down the weights a little bit, and I just feel he's a better horse than maybe the rating of 147 he has now. And will Friday be the time he runs his race? I'd like to think so, but I think there is a good effort in him. I'd say the other horse as well is probably down at the bottom of the weight, the horse called Belfast Banter, number 26, Peter Fahey trains, a relatively decent trainer in Ireland. Again, a little bit under the radar, but he's probably by the jumping sire at the moment, Jeremy, who had two winners yesterday, and has been a novice that's run a lot of okay races, has run in the UK a couple of times. And I think for the better ground, the fast pace, I think Belfast Banner could run a really, really big race. I think he's 40-1 or so now at the moment. So
yeah,
that'd be probably the one, if I was probably picking one, Belfast Banner would be the one to keep an eye on.
How about that? And that comes in the county handicap, which goes at 9:55 Eastern on Friday. Anything else from Friday, Kev? I mean, obviously you'll have it written up, but any of the last, we got the St. James, the Paddy Power Mares, and the conditional, the Martin Pipe conditional jockeys hurdle to close out the week.
The Martin Pipe, the last race for conditional riders, so it gives it kind of some of the up and coming riders a chance to win at the Cheltenham Festival. I was a little bit surprised actually when I saw the betting. So number 10 horse Killian or Pylon, who was beaten by Indefatigable in the race last year at 9-1. He's coming back off a kind of a fairly miserable or kind of non-successful jumping campaign, and then it was pulled up over hurdles last time out. But Blinker's first time, he's back to the scene of his best run, and he's 25-1 or so, and I think he was the one that, he was sent off 9-1 last year, obviously in better form. But, the one thing you kind of have to remember, these horses just, Cheltenham is a unique track, and I think trainers can target their horses at certain races, and you see names appearing, either winning it or coming place year after year, and you take your chance that Pileon is one of those horses who will come alive at coming back to Cheltenham, and could run a really good race at a big price.
Pileon, P-I-L-E-O-N, the 10 in the last race at Cheltenham on Friday to close out the four-day stand. And Kev, appreciate it so much. We've got we've got longshotlad.com now landing at our selections page, so it'll people can find their way to Kev for Ascot and Cheltenham and Breeders' Cup opinions, and happy St. Patrick's Day. I forgot to ask you about the lass. Everything good, you guys over there?
Yeah, all good, Steve. Yeah, it's a bit of a change, and it's maybe one of the more unique St. Patrick's Days that we have. But I think, it's been good fun. It's been a good adventure, and hoping that places start opening up that we can maybe do a bit of travelling around this area. And as I say, I'm dying to see Happy Valley on a Wednesday night, chat in at the weekend, and also kind of heading over to Japan as well to see some of the racing there. So it'll be great fun, and really enjoying it.
Kev Humphreys, everybody, and Kev Hum on Twitter and at our website, and I keep putting up his analysis. So many ways to reach Kev and his thoughts about Cheltenham Day 2, and we're well underway. And in fact, I got sidetracked. I was trying to make sure to record all the selections, and do we have, is the second official yet? I don't think so. No, the second, what happened in the second, Kev?
Yeah, so Monkfish won. He'd be still on the roof, so he would return up 1-4, so certainly the lowest price winner that there will be. Another favorite in.
All right. Well, now we'll look ahead for in about 20 minutes or so. We'll see if we can't give people the call, at least maybe the stretch for the Coral Cup, which should be a lot of fun, and looks like there's opportunity there. So as soon as this goes official, we can see some prices. And Kev, enjoy, and we'll talk soon.
Thanks, Steve. Thanks, all. Thank you. Enjoy the rest of your day.
Thanks to Kev. Always, it's just become a must. You know things are working when people in advance of something like Cheltenham, and I get emails and they say, are you going to have on Kev for Cheltenham? Yes, of course. Let's take a break, though, because I've got to put I'll explain later when I come back after the break. We've got to take a break. Sid Fernando is going to join us. Sirewatch Pedigree Focus, brought to you by Hill and Dale. But I've got the oven preheated, and the the corned beef is going in for braising, and you're thinking, oh my God, it's 10 o'clock in the morning. Yes, it's gonna cook about 6 hours. Got about a 4.5 pounder, and from Ushak's, beautiful dry rub corned beef from Denny. And Tina was like, from the time she woke up to the time she left for school, she must have asked or insisted four times, is the corned beef going to be ready when I get home? Is it going to be ready when I get home? She was like beside herself. So I'm putting the corned beef in early instead of waiting till after the show. Because if I put it in after the show, it's not going to be ready till after 6. If I put it in now, it'll be ready at about 4:15. You have no idea. She's like, she's crazed. Back after this.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Vick on Sirius XM Radio.
There's a great story to tell in Pennsylvania. Only 3 states have produced more Breeders' Cup champions, and no state can match our performance in recent years. Since 2016, our numbers of mares bred has skyrocketed, unlike the national trend. And this year's live foal report shows Pennsylvania up over 50%. Why? Our incentives and bonuses are the best in North America. Please visit us at pabred.com and see why Pennsylvania is the premier place to breed and race.
Why, in the past decade, has BRL Equine become the premier equine supplement company in the industry? Because we spend millions in research and development before we ever put out a product. Because we use only FDA-supervised facilities to manufacture for us. Because what we say is in them is in them. Because they work. Because if you're not happy, I'll give you your money back. And because top trainers and veterinarians in thoroughbred racing, standardbred racing, three-day eventing, and barrel racing all trust in BRL Equine. Shouldn't you? To find out more how Flexify HA, Unlock, Bleeder Shield, and EPO Equine can help you, contact me, Joseph Vellante, 215-501-6880.
Horsebills.com is a cost-effective, time-saving, paperless revolution. Vendors are able to generate electronic invoices for owners and other vendors who can pay through Horsebills.com for just 50 cents. Turn hours of work into minutes with our easy-to-use site. Have our team take over your bookkeeping or continue to do it yourself and pay only our low monthly subscription fee. Check out our video tutorial on the Horsebills.com YouTube channel and get started today for free. Horsebills.com. Toll-free number 888-9
Sirius XM Sports.